Jesus came to this sin-darkened earth with you on his mind, with the cross on his mind, and because he suffered and endured the pain of the cross, the death of the cross, we sing praises to him today. We have the opportunity to trust him as our Lord and as our Savior. Well, I'd like for you to turn with me today to the very first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, in the very first chapter, chapter 1, and verse 27. I'm continuing this series today on ethics and religious liberty. I mentioned to you last Sunday when I began this series that I will be preaching on this subject until August the 20th, when I have my, it'll be the last Sunday before I have my first meeting with the ERLC as a board member and as a trustee. And so I think it's important for me to share with you what are some important issues facing us as citizens of the United States, and more importantly, as Christians in this nation. And so today I'm preaching to you on the sanctity of human life, one of the hallmarks of the Christian faith and of us as the Southern Baptist Convention. And so I want us to read about the human dignity that we have been created with according to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, "So God created man." Now let's just stop right there. The atheist has a problem with those first few words to begin with. He doesn't even know, need to go any further before he has a problem with this scriptural truth. First of all, beginning with the name of God. The atheist does not believe that God exists. That's why they have a problem with the Bible long, long before verse 27. They have a problem with Genesis 1, verse 1, the very first rattle out of the battle when the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created." The atheist says, "No, there is no God, and God did not create. Things just evolved." And there are many things we could say about that. We won't take the time to do that today. But this is a real problem, this verse, for many people who deny the reality of God. So let's go on with verse 27. "So God created man in his own image." Oh, this is so important to us and our faith, because we are not like any other creature that God created. We are not like the animals out in the field or the forest or the fish in the sea or the river or the lake. God has created us as a special category, and that is with human dignity, because we have been made in his own image. Now think about that. Think about what that means. That means that we have the capacity to daily, moment by moment, fellowship and commune with the God of creation. And the reason for that is he has given us a soul that is going to live far beyond the time that this organism, this human body, dies. When my brain waves cease and my heart ceases to pump blood and I no longer continue to breathe, when this organism dies, Jimmy Patterson is going to go on living, because I've been created in the image of God and he has given me an immortal, eternal soul. The question of the hour, the question of the day is, where will my soul continue living? Will it live in heaven for eternity, or will it live in hell, separated from God forever, for eternity? And this is another wonderful thing that God has created us with, and that is the dignity of decision making. You make choices every day, and God has given us that dignity, and you have the choice right here today to trust Jesus, to receive his forgiveness. And in doing that, by believing in him, you will know that when you die, Your soul will continue to live forever with Jesus in heaven. That is the promise of being created in God's image. The verse continues, in the image of God, He, God, created him and made him male and female. He created them. Then verse 28 goes on to make a wonderful promise. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that moves on the earth. Friend, God does not create junk. He created you to have dominion over this earth. And as a saved person, as we said last Sunday, He has created you to be a king, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're not trash. You're not junk. You're made in the very image of our Creator. And you have the opportunity to fellowship with Him today. He's speaking to your heart right now through His own word. No doubt in my mind, God is speaking to hearts right now, especially those hearts that have never trusted Him as Savior. You have the choice. You've been created with the dignity of decision making so that you can say yes to Jesus today, or you can deny Him and say no. It is my prayer that you will say yes to Him today. So when we think about the sanctity of human life, it begins with the fact that we have human dignity because we're created in the image of God. Now, First Baptist Church is a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. That is our denomination. 16 million Southern Baptists across the nation. 5% of the United States of America are Southern Baptist. We are the largest non-Catholic denomination in the United States. And so we're grateful to have such an influence and such a voice in our country and the values and the decisions that are made here. And we need to exercise that liberty to speak on behalf of life in particular. And Southern Baptists are like no other mainline denomination. And I don't mean to be critical, but I just want to state a fact. We are the only mainline denomination that has stood for life. We are pro-life, unapologetically speaking in the public square about the sanctity of human life. And this last month at our Southern Baptist Convention meeting in Phoenix, Arizona, you as the Southern Baptist had messengers. Amy and I were two messengers that were sent from this church. And the big news that came out of the Southern Baptist Convention in the national media was that we took a strong stand and made a resolution against the alt-right, and rightly so. But it was kind of ignored on Tuesday, June the 13th, when in an afternoon session, we Southern Baptists overwhelmingly adopted a resolution calling for, and I quote, the defunding and investigation of Planned Parenthood. That resolution went on to state this, and I quote, the Southern Baptist Convention commends the ERLC, which is the Ethics and Religious Commission, for prioritizing the defunding of Planned Parenthood and tasked the ERLC with the distributing a copy of this resolution to the appropriate government leaders. Dear friend, as a Southern Baptist, this demonstrates how you as a convention, how you as a denomination stand for the sanctity of human life and the pro-life cause in the public square. Now, I do want to say this as a footnote. There is more that we can do, and there is more than that we should be doing, but this is a good place to start, and you can be grateful for the fact that you are a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, the third point in your notes looks like a math quiz, but it's really not. These are 10 numbers that you and every other American should know about Planned Parenthood. This research was done by a man by the name of Joe Carter. And if you want to find this article, all you have to do is go to the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission website, which is erlc.com. And this article by Joe Carter, under this title, has been archived there. And I appreciate so much his research, which begins with a very small number. You see it there in your notes. 3%. 3%, what does that represent? Well, 3% represents what Planned Parenthood claims for abortions in the services they provide. They say of all the services and activities we provide, abortions only comprise 3%. Well, that is technically true, but it is very, very misleading, and I'll tell you why it is. Planned Parenthood considers an activity any separate action, exam, or test they do for a patient. If a patient comes in for an abortion, they come in abortion-minded and say, I don't care about any test, I don't care about cancer screening, the only reason I'm here is to have an abortion, they will also give them an HIV test, an STI test, a PAP test, medication to prevent urinary tract infection, and some oral contraceptives. Planned Parenthood counts each one of these activities as part of their overall work. Even if a pregnant woman came to a Planned Parenthood clinic specifically for an abortion, the actual abortion would only account, in this example, for 16% of their activities, one out of six of their activities for that particular woman. Very misleading, very deceptive. And that's why we, as Americans and as Christians in particular, need to be careful. We need to be knowledgeable when we read news reports, when we hear news reports, or when we see news reports that claim misleading information about Planned Parenthood. The next number is 77. That is the number of years that Planned Parenthood Federation of America, commonly shortened to Planned Parenthood, has been in existence. The precursor of the organization was the American Birth Control League, the ABCL. It was started in 1921 by Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger was a white supremacist. She was also a leading advocate for eugenics, and particularly for negative eugenics, which promoted the reduction of sexual reproduction and the sterilization of people with undesired traits or family. That's how the Planned Parenthood organization got started, with that kind of mentality. The next number is $470. This is the median charge for a surgical abortion at 10 weeks gestation. And this is an old number. This is a 2009 number. The next number you see on the screen in your bulletin is 700. This is the approximate number of, and I'll put this in quotation marks, health centers. Really, it's nothing more than murder mills to the largest extent, but they call them health centers connected with Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood works on the franchise model, just like McDonald's or any other chain does. The next number, 60,319. That is the average amount the American taxpayers at the local, state, and federal level give Planned Parenthood every hour, 24 hours a day, 365 days a week. That's what you as a taxpayer are giving to Planned Parenthood. I bet you didn't know that. Go on, the next number is 327,653. This is the number of abortions Planned Parenthood performed in the year 2013, the latest statistical information available to us. The numbers get bigger. We come to the number of 523,616. This is the compensation of Planned Parenthood's CEO ending in the year 2013. And then the number gets even higher, 3.1 million. This is the domestic gross of the movie Obvious Child, and I'll put this in quotations too, an abortion comedy. There's nothing funny about abortion, but that's the genre that the movie was placed under. And so 3.1 million is the total domestic gross of Obvious Child, an abortion comedy that was released in 2014. Planned Parenthood brags that the organization, and I quote, worked for years with the film's writer, director, and producers to shape the story. They helped them film it in one of their own centers and oversaw its release to widespread and critical acclaim. Your tax dollars helped produce that movie. Then go on. 528 million. This is the amount of revenue Planned Parenthood received from government health services grants and reimbursements in 2014. That's the latest information available to us. Finally, the last number, 1.3 billion. That's with a B. That is the total revenue Planned Parenthood earned in 2014. This is all disturbing. You might be like me. The first time I read these numbers, I was unaware of them. But now I know what Planned Parenthood is. I know what they do. And it leads me to ask the question, what can I do? And no doubt it's left you with that same question on your mind. What can you do? Number one, be informed and trained. You might think that I would have put pray first, and I almost did, but then I got to thinking, if we're going to be able to pray with knowledge, we need to know what the enemy's tactics are. And so we need to be informed so we can pray specifically about the scourge on our society. But not only be informed, another part of that is to be trained. Well, how can I be trained? So grateful that we have Scott Klusendorf as a member of First Baptist Church. And he has done so much on a national level to train people, to train Christians, to speak to this issue. And I encourage you, if you don't already have Scott's web address, please write it down with your notes. It's www.prolifetraining.com. I'll say that again, www.prolifetraining.com. There you will learn how you can receive life training at the Life Training Institute, LTI. And I encourage you to inform yourself and to be trained. Then, once we have the information, we can pray with knowledge. We can pray specifically. And quickly on the heels of praying, we must give. Oh, how grateful we are that our church owns the building that our local Coweta Pregnancy Services is housed in. You might not know that, but right down the street over here from our campus, maybe a block and a half away from us, is a little red brick house, and that houses Coweta Pregnancy Services. And our church has historically been generous towards CalWeDa Pregnancy Services, and individuals in our church have also been very generous toward it. And out in the foyer, you can find these little receptacles that you can unfold and place on your dining table or your kitchen counter, and you can place money in there that will be collected to help CalWeDa Pregnancy Services. And I want to tell you the kind of work you are doing through CalWeDa Pregnancy Services. We have a sonogram over there, a sonogram machine, and a woman who comes into CalWeDa Pregnancy Services on a typical weekday, maybe she's abortion-minded or she suspects she's pregnant, we perform a sonogram for free for them. And this is what happens to someone that comes in who is abortion-minded. When they see on the screen the heartbeat of that little baby that is inside of them, it totally changes their idea about abortion. Many times, not all the time, but many times. Then they receive counseling about this baby that's inside of them. And then also, many come into CPS and they don't have a relationship with the Lord. They do not leave CalWeDa Pregnancy Services without someone sharing with them about how they can trust Jesus as their Savior. And the wonderful news is that annually there are many, many unborn lives that are saved through CalWeDa Pregnancy Services. That's what you are doing. And there are many lives that are saved spiritually because of the gospel testimony of the volunteers and staff over there. Thank you for what you're doing to give toward the work of CalWeDa Pregnancy Services. The next thing I've listed is volunteer. CPS needs all kinds of volunteers to help with having an effective ministry over there. And maybe God's put it on your heart today. That's one thing I can do. I can pray. I can volunteer. And then there's also the issue of adopting. Many of our church members have experienced the blessing of adoption, beginning with children who have been adopted into a loving Christian home. And then there are parents who have experienced the blessing of adoption by bringing a young, innocent life into their home. That is something we need to talk more and more about as members of First Baptist and as Christians in general. And then the next thing you should do is contract your congressman. You might be very much like your congressman. Perhaps your congressman is totally unaware of some of these numbers about Planned Parenthood. It would be good to write or email your congressman with these statistics. He or she might be totally unaware of it. And then state your position for life in the public square. And then finally, and perhaps most importantly, extend God's grace. When Scott Klusendorf has preached here on this subject, this is one of the most important takeaways for all of us. And that is the worst thing that a Christian can do when they meet someone who is contemplating abortion or who has had an abortion is to confront them with legalism and looking down our nose at them. We ought to thank God for the grace that He has extended to us and that He extends to everyone, including the abortion-minded person and the person who has already experienced the pain and tragedy of abortion. They are no worse than anyone else, including yourself. And we need to be agents of God's grace and show them the love and mercy and forgiveness that is available through the Lord Jesus Christ. I would not be before you today if God had not extended His grace to me and forgiven me. I am no better than anyone else. And that's the message that the believer must carry in his or her heart. And it could be that you're here today. Your life is torn and bleeding because of decisions that you've made. You've just made a mess of your life. I like the song that we sang earlier today, which speaks to the fact that when Satan points out every sin in my life, and it leads me to a place of total despair, I am drawn to look away from my own sin and look at Him who is suffering and bleeding on the cross of Calvary, so that I might experience His grace and His forgiveness and His salvation. Maybe that's you today. Your life's just a wreck, but I want you to know we understand about that here at First Baptist. This is not a museum for saints. This is a hospital for sick people. And if you need Jesus, if you need a new start today, you can have it by God's grace. Because if God can do what He's done for me, He can do the same thing for you. So let's bow together and let's talk to the Lord about it. Oh, dear Father, how we do thank You on this day for Your grace, for Your mercy, for Your love and for Your forgiveness, and how it is extended as a free offer to everyone in this building right now. Father, no matter what we have done, we know that You open Your arms to us. And Father, I pray for that dear soul today who just needs a new start, who needs a new beginning. I pray that they would exercise the dignity that You've given them as a human being, and that they would exercise the dignity of decision making, that they would say yes to You today, that they would receive You and Your forgiveness. Father, we ask today that You'd also be with those that are struggling with other kinds of decisions. Maybe there's some soul here today that just feels so alone and they need friends. And Father, I pray that You would give them a church home. And if You're leading them here to First Baptist, Father, we'll rejoice. We'll be a better church because of their coming today. And Lord God, we ask today that You'd also be with those who are hurting, that they would just feel Your peace and Your love and Your restoration in their life. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.